Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining together in this audio service as we seek together to worship and to adore our God for who he is and for all that he means to us. Now, just watch out for the start of this first song as we sing together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So thank you again for all your messages. It's lovely to have them and to hear from you. And this week, heard from Simon and Bev, who are listening in whilst away, having a little break, from Peter Livett and from Stephen and Cam, Charles and Vicky, from Graham, and from Graham and Anne. Now, just let me correct something, because to be fair, on reflection, I was a tad over optimistic in my eagerness to reopen the church building for a trial run in August. And a couple of subsequent messages from, well, one of them from our insurers, and the second one from FIEC, demonstrating all that we need to do to comply with the requirements to be COVID safe for the general public, and also the uncertainty over what we would be permitted to do even if we did open, means that, as with most other independent churches, I'm afraid we will remain closed until restrictions are lifted. So no reopening in August. Well, let's turn to our Bibles again now, and to Job and the first chapter. Stephen is going to read to us.
The book of Job, chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil.
and 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So this man was the greatest of all the people of the East, and his sons would go and feast in their houses each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for that reading, the opening chapter of the book of Job. And this morning I want to begin a new series in this book. I won't be working through this verse by verse. Rather, I've simply selected 6 or so of the big issues that Job faced that seem to me to speak to us about those times when God's people hit trouble, when they experience loss and suffering. And this morning I want us to look at this particular question: how does God treat his own people? How does God treat his own people? And if during this lockdown period you've come across God TV channels, which of course you know I certainly don't recommend that you watch, but anyone watching those programs will find that the majority of people on them would answer the question, "How does God treat his own people?" by saying, "Well, God treats his people in a very special way. So long as people have enough faith, then God will make sure that nothing bad can ever touch them. No illness, no virus, no loss of jobs or income, never any pain, never any heartache." Now that's the teaching that we call the prosperity gospel teaching. And it sounds wonderful, it has many followers. But is it true? And the answer from the Bible is no. It's a fairy story. that is found nowhere at all in the Bible. And to those who would say, I know what you're going to do, you're going to use this Old Testament book of Job to back up your claim, and we're New Testament Christians and we've been set free from all of that. Well, let me read to you from the New Testament, from the New Testament book of James, so that you can be sure that the teaching I will be bringing will be not my view, but teaching from the scripture, from the New Testament. And so in James 5, verse 10, as I turn to it, I read, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering." Brothers, it says, Christians, brothers, "in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered." You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So there James, along with the other apostles, tells us that suffering and loss is a normal experience for the New Testament Christian. And these New Testament verses are very positive about what God brought about in the life of Job through this time of awful suffering, of illness, of loss and heartache. And James tells us there that there was a purpose in God bringing awful tragedy on a man of faith like Job, so that Job discovered afresh that the Lord is full of compassion, full of mercy. It wasn't just learning about God's compassion. Now, in this time of suffering, Job actually experienced it. And so back into chapter 1 of Job, there in verse 1, we read, "In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil." So Job was a very godly man and was certainly not lacking in faith. The word blameless there doesn't mean that he was perfect or sinless. Simply means that he was a man of integrity. He was the same on the inside as what he displayed on the outside, a genuine God-fearing man. And this is the man of God, this is the man of faith, who is going to suffer terribly as his life is ripped apart through loss, through illness and bereavement and pain. But none of that is because Job is a bad man or because he didn't have enough faith. That's the very clear statement right at the start of this book. So verse 2. "He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys. And he had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the earth in the east." And so Job was a great man with massive wealth and a huge workforce. He has been blessed with a large family. Job has everything and all is well in Job's world. But things are about to change. Have you found that true of you? Everything in life looking so rosy, all your plans in place, everything going so well, and then suddenly, from nowhere, trouble. Well, that's how it was for Job. And those verses 6 to 11 bring staggering news. Here we catch a glimpse of what's going on behind what is happening on earth, of which Job knows nothing at all. Verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth, and going to and fro in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? Do you bless the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land? But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has." And you notice this is God doing the striking. "And everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And it's interesting to see God's assessment of Job there in verse 8, showing that the trouble that's going to hit Job's life is not because he's a failure, not because he's lacking in trust or faith. In fact, quite the reverse. God says that Job is one of the best of men and one of the greatest men of faith. But Satan, who we know is the accuser, says of Job, Do you think he has this great faith and trust because he loves you?" No. Job's so good because all he gets from you, he's in it for the money. Pure prosperity teaching here from the devil. People only follow you, God, because of what they get out of you. You take it away. If you take it away from him, he will curse you to your face. This is really a satanic attack on God. He's saying that God's not worthy to be loved, that God's not worthy to be followed simply for who he is. And so the scene poses the question, does Job really love God for who he is, or just for what he can get out of God? Verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." And so we see there God granting permission for Satan to bring this attack, a satanic attack on God. And in the following verses, calamity for Job. First of all, his wealth and his servants are gone. Secondly, all his flocks are gone. And so Job now is bankrupt. The greatest, the richest man in the East overnight has lost it all and has become the poorest man in the East. But that's not the worst of it. Verse 18. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." Job's children, his family, 7 sons, 3 daughters, all dead. The list of Job's wonderful life gone at a stroke. Such extreme loss, pain and heartache. And so the question from all of this is Job a prosperity gospel person who believes that God never lets bad things ever touch a person of faith? Well, we have the Bible's response. We have Job's response, verse 20. "At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground in worship and said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Job falls to the ground in worship because Job is a true lover, a true worshipper of God. Everything I ever had, all those donkeys, all that land, all those flocks, all my servants, all my family, God gave them all to me. He didn't have to give them to me. He didn't have to give me a wonderful, trouble-free life. They were his to give, and they are his to take away. Praise the name of the Lord. So Satan is proved wrong, and God is glorified. It's the exact opposite of the teaching around today that says, you know people of real faith because God prospers them and God protects them. They don't have any illness. Nothing ever bad happens to them. Nothing ever bad can touch them. Job treasures God far more than the stuff that God gives him. And so does God always keep his people safe? Well, no. Does God always prosper his people if they have enough faith? Well, no. The Bible's clarion call through the example of people like Job is that only suffering can show if someone is really a true believer who is in love with God. And when that is demonstrated in a person's life, God gets the glory. That's what the message of this book is. God getting the glory. And in these times when suffering, pain, bereavement, the total collapse of life is a daily occurrence among both unbelievers and Christians alike, God gets the glory when his people are seen to be in love with God, even in the deepest tragedy. This book of Job shows us that God is absolutely sovereign. He's sovereign over Satan, sovereign over suffering. Satan can do nothing without God's permission. A world where Satan is in control is false teaching. So we do thank God for all the good things he gives us. But this account of Job reminds us that if it was all taken away, the true believer still is in love with and trusts and falls to their knees to worship their lovely Lord Jesus, their Heavenly Father, and God the Holy Spirit. So next time as we look at chapter 2, we'll see the lie of Satan regarding sickness and disease. Now let's close this with prayer. Father God, you've given us so many good things, and we praise you for your astonishing generosity. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for our food, for our health, for our jobs and for our family. We thank you so much. But please teach us from your word not to make the things you give us the essence of our love for you. Help us in life's circumstances to say with Job, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Praise be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, three people got the answer right last week. Of course, the answer to the question, who was the first tool maker in the Bible, was Tubal Cain there in Genesis 4. And question this week is quite simple. Simple question, but quite so simple to find. But do you remember the story of Joseph? when Joseph finally reveals who he is to his brothers who are there before him, when he says, "I am Joseph. I want you to tell me, what did the brothers say in response to Joseph revealing who he is? What did they say in response to Joseph's revelation?" So let's now close with this hymn that expresses our trust in God, as we remind ourselves that we are safe in the shadow of the Lord.
Safe.